Friday, Terry Majda, Yud Zayin Kislev, Tavshin Pei Beis, Reb Eli Pick.
Yeshus Kol HaKol HaKodesh HaZeh. Say this Shel Eloi Nishmas, my sister-in-law Maras Devora Bas Reb Alexander, Mrs. Devora Davis, Aleha Shalom. She should be a Melitzas Yosef for her family and for all Klal Yisrael. We are now getting into the Chanukah mood. In another week, we are lighting the Neiros Chanukah. And there's a very interesting idea which comes out on the halacha of Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. Where else do we find a mitzvah where you've got a Mahadrin, Mahadrin, a Mahadrin? The Ikka mitzvah is one light per household per night. But we add according to the number of days or nights, and we add according to the number of people in the household. Mahadrin, Mahadrin, a Mahadrin. Where else do you get such a mitzvah? All right, we all know about the idea of Hidur mitzvah. But it seems that Mahadrin min Mahadrin is something which goes far beyond Hidur Mitzvah, like buying a nice Esrog or something like that. So the Beis Halevi answers the question. He says, with the Ner Chanukah, the whole miracle happened because of Hidur Mitzvah. Because when they had only a small amount of oil, they could have made a thinner wick and say, let's economize on the amount of oil, that it will last longer. But they didn't. We want to do the mitzvah in a nice way, behidur. And since they did the mitzvah with a hidur, that is why we commemorate it with a mahadrin and mahadrin mahadrin. So says the Beis Halevi. But we'll come back to that idea later. Let's look at certain other aspects of Hilchas Chanukah. So the Rambam writes in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis, mitzvah chaviva ad ma'od. There's some emphasis about Ner Chanukah, which is such a dear mitzvah, ad ma'od. This is a very emphatic expression. And he says in Halacha Yudalad, afilu eino ma'yochal, even if a person has no food to eat, elominat stoka, shoel amoche kasuso, he should go and borrow, or he should even sell his clothes. That means that he has to take the jumper off his back and sell it in order to be able to perform the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Where else do you find such a mitzvah? That you have to sell your clothes? Certainly, if you haven't got money for a mitzvah, then you're called onus. If I can't perform tzitzis, I can't perform tefillin, I can't help it, so I'm onus. But it doesn't say I have to sell my clothes. We do find, though, in certain other mitzvahs, where there is an idea where the oni, the poor person, still has to borrow and do whatever he can in order to perform the mitzvah. And the classic example of that is the four cups of wine on Leil Pesach. So there, in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Chametz Matzah Alocha Aluf, where there's a mitzvah, L'saper benisim v'niflos shenasu l'avaseinu b'mitzrayim, there it says in Halacha Zayin, the Rambam writes, "Vafilu oni hamispanes minat tzedaka." So there we got the poor person again referred to. Even if he has to rely on community funds, lo yifchasu lo midalet kosesh. Excuse me. He may not have less than four cups of wine. He has to go out of his way. It doesn't actually say there the words moche kasuso, he has to sell his clothes, but the Osamach on the Rambam does explain that there we equalize it, that there too he should be prepared to sell his clothes in order to perform the mitzvah of the four cups of wine. So those are two mitzvahs. There is one other mitzvah which we find. One other mitzvah we find where it talks about the poor person. In Perek Hilchas Shabbos Halacha Aleph, Echad Anoshim, Echad Noshim, both men and women have the duty of Ner Shabbos. Lios Boteim Ner Doluk B'Shabbos, Afilu Ein Lo Ma Yochal. So you've got the same expression there. Even if he's got nothing to eat, Shoel Ala Psochim, he has to go knocking on doors in order to perform the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. So the Rambam writes, Shezeh Biglal Oneg Shabbos, because that is part of the Oneg of Shabbos. Mefarshim say it's Darkei Shalom, your mind might fall over and then there'll be a quarrel. The Gemara uses the expression that they covered Shabbos for the honor of Shabbos. But what is the common denominator between Ner Chanukah, Dalet Kosos, and Ner Shabbos? What is common between all those three mitzvahs, which we don't find in any other, when a poor person has to go knocking on doors, or borrowing, or selling his clothes? The Magid Mishnah writes on the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, and he equates these three mitzvahs as being Mishum Parsumei Nisa. They are all publicizing a nes. Alright, we know that there's a nes Chanukah. We know that there's a nes from Golos Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and the Mon and so on. What is the nes with Shabbos? Well, Shabbos represents the Bria. Shabbos is the commemoration of the creation of the world. So that is a nes. So it's not simply that Ner Shabbos is that you've got light in your house and you've got covered Shabbos and you've got Oneg Shabbos. You are commemorating something which is the biggest nes of all time, and that is Bria Sa'olam. So you've got there the Nisim, where the Nisim take place, and we strengthen our Emunah and our Kodesh Baruch Hu by commemorating these Nisim. Those are the examples where the poor person has to go out of his way, even in order to sell his clothes. That's the Maggid Mishnah. But there's another strange piece of the Maggid Mishnah. In that same piece of Maggid Mishnah, which is right at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, he talks about the Dalet Kosos, the four cups of wine. Sha'afilu onu bi Yisrael lo yivchos medalet kosos. And then he says, V'atam mishum parsumei nisa, we're publicizing the Nes. And then he says, the Kol Shekein B'nei Chanukah. And all the more so, Kal V'Chomer with Nei Chanukah. So what's he saying here? He's saying if the poor person has to sell his clothes in order to perform the four cups of wine, then Kal V'Chomer, he's got to sell his clothes in order to perform the mitzvah of Nei Chanukah. What sort of Kal V'Chomer is this? A Kal V'Chomer, we all know what a Kal V'Chomer is, all the more so where you've got a Kal and you've got a Chomer. So what does that mean? If my neighbor is causing me suffering from his noise for one day, and he's carrying on, then all the more so, Kal V'Chomer, I'm going to be suffering for a whole week. That's a Kal V'Chomer. But where is the Kal V'Chomer here with Ner Chanukah? Surely the Nisim of the Yetzias Mitzrayim are much greater. We've got the Ten Makkos, we've got Kriyas Yamsuf, we've got the Mon in the Midbar, the 40 years, and all the other Nisim attached to it. I mean, these are the most amazing experiences we've ever witnessed. And as the Kuzri says, on that is what we base our Emunah upon, because we were there. There were 3 million, says the Stipler, 600,000, married, kids, 3 million people witnessing something. That is the most amazing thing in all history. Certainly we find in all the Yomim Tovim, we talk about Zeicher Letzias Mitzrayim, and we talk about Zeicher or Zikaron L'Maaseh Bereishis, Shabbos as well, Zikaron L'Maaseh Bereishis. So if we are commemorating such a great event like Letzias Mitzrayim, why is there a Kal V'Chomer to Ner Chanukah? Surely it should be the other way around. That if a poor person has to sell his clothes in order to perform the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which represents, you know, there was a Pach Shemen, which not so many people had seen, and the Milchama, which was a Neis Nista, the Rabin Biad Measim, very nice. But how can you compare that to the amazing Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Surely it should be the other way round, where you say, if the poor person has to sell his clothes in order to perform their Chanukah, then Kal V'Chomer, all the more so, he should be prepared to sell his clothes for the four cups of wine, because the Nisim of Golos Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, are far, far greater. So how do we understand this Kal V'Chomer of the Maggid Mishnah? The Lecha Mishnah asks this question. He says, surely we should say V'hu Adin. And so is the same with Ner Chanukah. Just like the poor person has to beg or sell his clothes in order to perform the four cups of wine, V'hu Adin, so the same way. But Kal V'Chomer? The Lecha Mishnah does not answer the question. He writes with Tzarech Iyun. But Baruch Hashem, we've got the Avnei Nezer who comes to the rescue, the Soket Shavah Rebbe, and he addresses this question. So there, the Avnei Nezer in Siman Tov Kuf Aleph, he says, "V'al-Dvar Kal V'Chomer Shel Harav HaMagid." He notes the idea of Shabbos being a Parsumei Nisar as well, Shemafasein Chidush HaOlam. But then he says, "Hamitzvah Shebelel Pesach," when you perform the mitzvah of the Dalet Kosos and the Gadatol Avincha, and you're sitting around the table for Seder night, you're sitting with your family. So the Parsumei Nisar is limited to your children and to the members of your family, and any guests that you have sitting around your table. That is the Parsumei Nisar. He notes that Shabbos is a Parsumei Nisar just according to oneself. I reflect on by myself to give myself a personal emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the creation of the world. So Shabbos is a Parsumei Nisar in a different form. Okay, you could say that Shabbos is also a pasumi nisa to the outside world. Everyone sees us keeping Shabbos. I once knew a taxi driver, a non-Jewish taxi driver, who specially came into the area of Golders Green on a Shabbos because he wanted to see families walking together. He said, nowhere else do I see this, to see families walking together. It's a pasumi nisa of Shabbos. But what's the din then? When it comes to Ner Chanukah, says the Avnei Nezer, when you perform that mitzvah, you're not publicizing it to the members of your household. You're lighting outside your front door, facing the street. You are showing it to the whole world outside. So the Pasume Nisa is small, relatively, when it comes to Seder night, because that is to the members of your family. But the Pasume Nisa of Ner Chanukah is to the whole outside world. Therefore, you've got the kal v'chomer. If the poor person has to sell his clothes in order to perform pasumi nisa with the four cups of wine, then kal v'chomer, where the pasumi nisa is greater, showing it to the outside world, kal v'chomer, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is greater. That is how we explain the kal v'chomer of the Magid Mishnah according to the Avnei Nezer. Question is really, why is it that way? Why is it that we limit the pasumi nisa so much with dalas kosas, or for that matter on Purim, where we limit the pasumi nisa simply to the reading of the Megillah and has nothing to do with the outside world? You can say certainly that with the Seder night, it says in the Pasuk V'gadatol Avincha, so it's stressing the idea of the family around the table. And when you bring the Korban Pesach, it uses the word L'mishpachoseichem, the emphasis according to your family. So the whole concept of celebrating Pesach is family-wise. And when it comes to Purim, what's happened on Purim? So Haman HaRosha said, Am mefuzar mefarod bein o amim, that these people are a scattered people. So what do we do as a tikkun on Purim? We come together as a tzibur. We come together as a kehillah in the shul in order to read the Megillah. And that is the parsumei nisa, to doing a tikkun for the criticism which Haman HaRosha labeled against us. And Shabbos is a personal thing to strengthen my emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I witness the nefloas habayre. I go out and I see the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creations. That is a personal thing. So, the Avnei Nezer says, Shabbos is on myself, on the individual. But Chanukah is to the outside world. And why? What is the whole message of Chanukah? When we say the Al HaNisim, we say the words, L'hashkichom Torosecho. But what did the Hellenists and the Greeks, they tried to do? They wanted us to forget the Torah. It was a spiritual war. It wasn't that they were trying to kill us out. They were trying to do away with the Torah. They banned Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Milah, and so on and so forth. And it was L'hashkichom Torosecho. So what is the message of L'hashkichom Torosecho to the outside world to counteract the forces which come against us from the outside world, like the Hellenism or the Kafira, and especially even nowadays, what you get, we are fighting back. So the Chanukah light has to be shown to the outside world. Because the Pasume Nisa which is celebrated is not simply like the other Pasume Nisa which we described, but it's that fight against the external forces. And that is why the Chanukah light is shown to the outside one. It's amazing, really, because if a mitzvah is done kitikuno outside the front door, then the children in the house don't even see it. They'd have to go out into the front garden to see it, but in the house they don't see it. All right, one can always add an additional menorah inside the house, but the whole concept of the Nes of Chanukah and to celebrate the Hashkichon Torosecho is to show it to the outside world. That is the forces. So what is Chanukah? Chanukah, when we say the bracha she'asa nisim la'avoseinu, bayomim ahem, bazman hazeh, in this time, now, we say the same with Purim. Purim is a neis nista. Chanukah was both a neis nista and a neis nigla. Neis nista being the milchoma, and the neis nigla being the pach shemen. So we got those two kinds of nisim happening by Chanukah, and we say bazman hazeh. What does this mean, Bizman Hazeh? Nowadays, do we really mean today, in the year Tov Shin Pei Beis? I was talking to a few young people last Shavuos, and we spoke about when the Torah was given, and the Machlokas, was it given on the 6th of Sivan, or was it given on the 7th of Sivan? So I asked this audience, I said to them, look, imagine the Torah is written like a newspaper, in the format of printing of a newspaper. So then it would have a date written on the top. So I asked them what date would be written on the top of this apparent newspaper. So one fellow put up his hand, he said, the 6th of Sivan. And another person said, 7th of Sivan, 2448, when the Torah was given. So I said, no. The date written on that newspaper in the format of the Torah is today. As it was then, it was Shavuos. Today is the 21st of November, the 17th of Kislev, Tov Shin Pei Beis. That is today. And I prove it. How do I prove it? I can prove it from yesterday's parsha. Yesterday in Vayishlach, where we talk about the Giz Hanoshe, after the fight that Yaakov Avinu has with the Sarah Shel Esav, it says, Al Kein Lo Yechlu Es Bnei Esav Es Giz Hanoshe Ad Hayom Hazeh. What's Pshat Ad Hayom Hazeh? Means today. Today, the first day of this week of Parshas Vayeshev, today, the 17th of Kislev, Tov Shin Pei Beis. And in the same parsha yesterday, where we speak about the kavura of Rochel Imenu, and that he kavuras Rochel ad hayom, until today. So what is the Torah saying? Today, today's date. We find the same with the kavura of Moshe Rabbeinu. At the end of Azos HaBrocha, v'lo yada ish es kavuraso ad hayom hazeh, until today. The Kofrim are saying, oh, the Torah is old-fashioned, it's from a long time ago. It's the most modern publication of all. It's more up-to-date than the Highway Code or any recent Act of Parliament. Because every single minute there's a hischachus, the Torah is relating to now. And I'll prove it, these psokim mean that it means today. I'll prove it from another posuk in Yoshua. Because then Yoshua and Perek Dalud, Pasuk Tes, there it talks about the stones which Yeshua made at the river Yarden. And there the Pasuk says, "Shtemesri avonim hakim Yeshua besocha Yarden, tachas matzav ragli akonim," where the konim was standing, nose Aaron bris, where they're carrying the oron. There he put 12 stones, and the Pasuk there says, "Vayu yushom ad hayom hazeh," and those stones are there until this day. And then if we look in the Perush Metzudas David, and the Metzudas David writes a very interesting comment. He says, what does it mean, Ad Hayom Hazeh, Rotza Loima, Ki Kol Korea Posuk Hazeh Bizmano, whoever is reading that posuk at his particular time, Omer Ad Hayom Hazeh, it means that day that the person is reading it. V'hu Klal Godol B'divrei HaNaviim. An amazing piece of Metzudas David. That we're finding that the Torah is giving us a very important lesson. The lesson is that nobody has the right to say, oh, that this is old-fashioned or outdated. The Torah is more up-to-date than anything else. Because the Torah is always talking about now. And we can always apply what it's saying to the events of now. So the Ramban writes, at the end of Parshas Bo, he talks about Nisim. V'chein ha-Nisim, the most amazing emunah that we get is from the Nisim Nigloim, the Hamufarsimim, the famous Nisim. And a person who is modeb Nisim Hanistorim, as a result of that, a person should also be understanding and agreeing to the idea that the hidden miracles are also the Nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he writes, Shehem Yesod HaTorah Kula. That is the whole foundation of the Torah. That a person hasn't got a chelik in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu. Unless a person accepts that all the words and that the nisim which took place and which are taking place now are what teaches us our Yiddishkeit. It's the whole fundamental issue of our Yiddishkeit. So it's not only the Ner Chanukah. It's all the nisim which happen. Nigla and Nista, Bizman Hazeh, which we are experiencing, that we can discover all the time the amazing nisim of the Niflaos Habore. There's a Sefer Ikorim of Rav Yosef Albo, Tzadik Livrocha, who writes one example in his Sefer, one example of Niflaos Habore. And I was intrigued as to why he uses that example. He speaks about bees making a honeycomb. You know, ordinary thing, you know, you go to the deli, you buy a bit of honeycomb for Rosh Hashanah, very nice. Study the honeycomb, he says, and you'll see the most amazing Niflaos Habore. Because what the bees do is, in order to minimize on their work in creating the wax which encloses the honey, which they need to feed their young and the other bees and so on, so they make the honey and they enclose it in little hexagon shapes. Six-sided shapes. It's not square shapes. Have a look at a picture of a honeycomb. They're not triangles or squares, they are hexagons. So Rav Yosef Albo writes, this is the most amazing thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the bee to know, that when he creates the when the bees make the hexagon, they are saving on the amount of work, because they have to fly tens of thousands of miles to create this wax, to do all the picking up of the nectar and making the pollen and so on. And they make this wax, but it's a lot of work making this wax. So to minimize the work, they make these hexagon shapes. And that maximizes the amount of honey which can be stored. And only very recently, 19 years ago, there was a mathematician in America called Thomas Hales. A non-Jewish mathematician. He said, I can prove mathematically that this is the most economical way of making a honeycomb. Only recently was it proved that this is the minimum amount of effort for the bees in making the hexagons and creating the maximum amount of honey. Mor Rabu Masecho Hashem. You know, what we do nowadays is we take it for granted. You want to go in your car and you get somewhere and you tap into your GPS somewhere where you want to go. It's probably the most amazing invention of all. And you're told where to go, to turn right, to turn left, and so on and so forth. What we don't realize is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a GPS when he made the bat. The bat is a rather strange mammal of an animal, but the bat can't see very well. Some say they're blind, but they have a sight vision. But how do they find their way around? They send out ultrasonic messages, and they know what's going on around them. And they have a GPS. They can communicate with each other where to go. The bees also communicate to guys where to go, where the best flowers are. They have a GPS in their minds. But their GPS is much more sophisticated than the one that we have in our cars, because they can see if there's any impending accidents and they know how to avoid them and so on. That's the amazing thing about Nifloas HaBore. That every single day when we practice our Yiddishkeit, we should think about the amazing nisim which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not only thousands of years ago, but also today, nowadays, Bizman Hazeh. Because the Torah is relevant for today, and not just for today, at 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, and it's always up to date. Another example, which is a very fascinating one, is that in the Sefer Bereishis, where we talk about Chanoch, Hashem, it says he walked with Hashem. What was the amazing thing about Chanoch? He had such an amazing emunah, he recognized as a shoemaker that every single movement he did was simply a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was unable to make a stitch in a shoe unless he had that special gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So after every stitch he made on the shoe, he said, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed. That was his recognition of the Nifloas HaBore. That even when I open my mouth, I'm not able to do it without the koyach which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me. Every time I open my mouth, I once had a teacher in school who said, every time I open my mouth, an idiot starts to speak. So we have to recognize and not take for granted. I mean, the Bracha V'Asher Yotzeh sums it up. But people are unfortunately mumbling it down and should realize. Rabbi Yisachar Frand, when he sat down with his family, every Friday night, he went round the table and asked everybody to give an account of how they had experienced that week any Hashkocha process. Because it's happening the whole time. So what is Chanukah? Chanukah is representing this fight against the outside world. The counteraction, a force to neutralize the kafira from outside. Against this Lashkicham Tarasecha. And this Lashkicham Tarasecha did not only happen a couple of thousand years ago with the story of Chanukah. It's happening today. It happens in England. Right now. Now we might think that England's a wonderful place to live in. And it's a Malchus Shel Chesed. And in fact, if you look in the Teshuvas of the Levushei Mordechai, Rav Mordechai Lev Winkler writes towards the end, in the third Chelek, he says, Eretz England, Me'iye Eretz HaKodesh. Amazing that he should write such a thing. He says, England is one of the holy islands of Eretz Yisrael. the idea Eretz-Yisrael will become larger and larger and may reach right up to England, who knows. But it seems that the reason why he wrote this, and he says it in the name of the Chasam Sofer, that England is such a wonderful place, it's probably because England let in so many Jewish refugees when the rest of Europe remained Catholic and anti-Semitic. England was being more flexible because it broke away from the Catholic Church. I think that's the reason. But nevertheless, whatever his intention, we do now have in England these challenges coming in from the outside. We've got Ofsted dictating to us how to educate our children. We have a government which is denying the sanctity of marriage. We have to fight to stop the kafira entering our houses through the media. We've got constant fights going on. This is the same thing about Chanukah, Lashkichom Torasecho. So the message of the Chanukah light is to fight back. We have to publicize the light to outside, in contrast to the other kinds of Parsumei Nisa, which might be individually, or around the table, to the family, or which are in shul, like in the Purim story. Chanukah is that fight to the outside world, where we have to shine that light outside. And that is why we have that Kal V'Chomer. Remember the Kal V'Chomer of the Magid Mishnah? So he says that Afilu Oni, Shoel Ala Psochim, he has to knock on doors. Omeche Kususo, he has to sell his clothes. For Dalet Kosos, for the four cups of wine. So we ask, how can you say a Kal V'Chomer and a Chanukah when a Chanukah is just about Pach Shemen and a small war, whereas Nisim of Golos Mitzrayim is something so magnificent and enormous? Nevertheless, the Kal V'Chomer is there, because the Ner Chanukah is a bigger fight. The Ner Chanukah is a bigger Parsumei Nisa to publicize to the outside world. And that is why we have this Kal V'Chomer. And we started off asking the question, why is it that Chanukah has Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin? That in addition to the idea of Hidul Mitzvah, Hidul Mitzvah means you find a nice oil, you use olive oil, and you might, instead of candles. But Mahadrin, that you add an additional light for each day, or Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, that we add according to the number of people in the household, why do we say we have this in this mitzvah and in no other mitzvah? We gave the answer of the Beis Halevi, which was to say that the original miracle happened because of Hidur Mitzvah, because they could have used a thinner wick. But when you think about what we've just discussed with the Nisim, both the Nisim Nigloim, the revealed miracles, and the Nisim Nistorim, the hidden miracles, and the fight of Chanukah, which is against the outside world, and the importance of that, Lashkicham Tarasecho, to fight against it, that magnifies the mitzvah of Chanukah more and more. And that is another reason we can say why we have not only Mahadrin, and also Mahadrin in a Mahadrin, and also you find with Chanukah the expression of Zahirus B'mitzvah, Dikduk B'mitzvah, and Hidur Mitzvah, all these things coming together. And all of this is because our survival of Yiddishkeit depends on fighting what the Hellenists try to do to us. Lashkichom Torasecho. Thank you. Amen.